Well, if you've been with us at all, you know that we've been in the middle of a series titled The Bible, A True Story. We actually started this series quite a while ago as we've been discovering more and more really about who God is and who He desires us to be. And so far, we've already worked our way all the way through the Old Testament, and we've started now into the New Testament. And over the last several weeks, we've been looking at different scriptures found in the book of Acts. So far, we've seen the early church has begun to grow rapidly here. After Jesus ascended, He told them to go and to be His witnesses, to go and wait first. And as the Holy Spirit came upon them, to go and to be His witnesses. And we're seeing this the early church grow rapidly. But in the midst of this growth, we're also seeing them experience this great persecution. A few weeks ago, we talked about the death of Stephen, the first martyr that died for serving Jesus. And we talked about how it was actually a man by the name of Saul who gave the authority for Stephen to be killed. And then last week, we actually talked about this man, Saul, who gave that authority for Stephen to be killed. That this man who had dedicated his life to pursue Christians and to stop them from sharing the truth about Jesus. But it was in his pursuit of Christians where God met him on the road to Damascus and changed his life forever. And instead of trying to destroy the church, he became an ally of the church. And he began to serve the church as he became known now as Paul. And last week, we were just reminded of the fact that God has the ability to change any heart. This person that was trying to kill and persecute Christians, God changed his heart and brought him to him. And so if you continue to read on into Acts, you see that the church, it continues to grow, but so does the persecution. And this morning, we're going to look at the story where Peter is thrown into prison and King Herod plans to have him killed. But as God's people begin to pray for something miraculous to happen, God shows up. And so let's dive into this section of Scripture. It's found in Acts chapter 12, and we're going to read verses 1 through 18 this morning. It says this: "It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that this met with approval among the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the festival of unleavened bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. 'Quick, get up,' he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, 'Put on your clothes and sandals.' And Peter did so. 'Wrap your cloak around you and follow me,' the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, 'Now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen. When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed, she ran back without opening and exclaimed, "Peter is at the door." "You're out of your mind," they told her. When she kept insisting that it was so, they said, "Well, it must be his angel." But Peter kept on knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet and described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. "Tell James and the other brothers and sisters about this," he said. And then he left for another place. In the morning, there was no small commotion among the soldiers as to what had become of Peter. We're going to stop there this morning. Now, this scripture is an amazing miracle. Peter, he literally pulls off the escape for all ages. And this was no little escape. This was no minor feat. You know, this wasn't Barney Fife forgetting to lock the cell door. This was a miracle. Let me give you a little more insight to this miracle that we read about here. At this time, Herod Agrippa had been appointed by the Roman Empire as king over all Judea. Now, Herod, he was a ruthless leader who sought power and popularity among the people. And he didn't care what it took for him to get it, to get that power, to get that popularity. Now, keep in mind, this is the grandson of Herod the Great. And Herod the Great, if you didn't know or don't remember, he was the one who back in Matthew chapter 2 ordered all boys 2 and under to be put to death, to be slaughtered. And this was because he had heard that Jesus had been born. And he was worried about Jesus taking over his throne. So he wiped out this entire population of boys, hoping that he would kill Jesus. Now, much like his grandfather, Herod Agrippa was willing to do whatever he had to do to gain the approval of the Jews, of these Jewish leaders. And so he was willing to kill Christians if it meant he would gain the approval of the Jews. And we see from the scripture that he had already killed James. And now he has Peter in his custody. And there's no doubt that he plans to do the same to Peter as soon as this festival is over. And so we see here that he takes extra precaution to see that Peter doesn't escape. Because if you remember back in Acts chapter 5, Peter and the apostles, they were put into prison, but suddenly they were out. No one knew how they suddenly, all of a sudden, were out of prison and had escaped. And Herod isn't about to let that happen again. And so he assigns 4 guards to Peter, and he has them with him around the clock. 2 that are stationed at the door to make sure he can't get out the door. But then there are 2 that are in his cell with him, and he's actually chained to each of them. 1 arm to one and 1 arm to the other. And so for Peter to escape, it was going to take a miracle. And as we see here in these scriptures, that is exactly what happens. God shows up in a big way. And the thing I want to focus on this morning in the midst of this miracle is the fact that this miracle started with prayer. When Peter was arrested, the church began to pray. And I believe that it was through their prayers that this amazing miracle took place. And when I broke down this section of Scripture and looked at it a little closer, God revealed some things to me here about prayer, some things that I think we can learn from. And so today, I want to share with you really 4 things that I think that we can learn about prayer from these verses that we read this morning. And so the first thing I want to share is this. Number 1, there is power when we unite together in prayer. In verse 5, it tells us that the church began to pray. Many of the Christians came together in unity to pray, to give this situation to the Lord. And if you look through the book of Acts, you'll see that powerful things happen when the church came together to pray. If you go back to the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, when the power of the Holy Spirit fell upon them, when they received the gift that God had for them, we would see that they were gathered together in that upper room praying and seeking the Lord. And then in Acts 4, after the apostles were first persecuted, the first time that Peter and John got thrown into jail, when their lives were being threatened, once again they gathered together to pray. As a matter of fact, let me read to you what happened when they prayed in Acts chapter 4. In Acts 4:31, it says this: after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. The place shook. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. When they came together in unity to pray, miracles happened. We see it time and time again. And the cool thing about this is this unity was a result of Jesus' prayer before he was crucified. In John chapter 17, the night before Jesus was crucified, he prayed to the Father. And one of the things that he prayed was for unity among the believers. He prayed that those who believed in him would be one, that they would be unified. And that's what we saw here in the early church. They continued to come together as one to seek God and to pray for his will. And I believe this is the reason we saw the early church grow so rapidly, because there's power when we unify in prayer, as we come together in the name of Jesus to see his will accomplished. And as I've been talking about this morning, God's been stirring in my heart. You know that this is pre-recorded, but right now I have heard of many people in our church, their family members, friends that are being evacuated because of fires that are going on right now around us. And I just feel like right now in this moment, that together online here Sunday morning, we are supposed to unify in prayer for these fires and for these people who are being evacuated. And so will you pray with me? I'm going to just do it right now in the middle of my message, because God is telling me to. And so, Lord, we pray right now. We come to you, and I just pray that as we as a church come together, united right now to lift up these fires in prayer, Lord, that by the power of your Spirit, you would move right now, that you would stop fires right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I just want to pray too. I want to pray for your hand upon families that have lost their homes. I want to pray your hand upon families that are worried that they've lost their homes. Lord, I just want to pray for your peace. I want to pray for your comfort. I want to pray for your hand upon lives right now. And so, Lord, help us to unite as Christians in prayer right now, praying against these fires, praying against, Lord, these things of our world that bring hurt and pain. And so we seek the God of comfort. We seek the God of peace. We seek the God who can do all things. And so right now we just pray, Lord. I don't know, Lord, this is 3 or 4 days down the road as I'm praying this, but I feel like I'm supposed to do it right now. And so we just unite in prayer. And we just give it to you. And we pray, Lord, not our will, but your will be done. And that you move in lives, that you bring comfort and strength and peace, and that you do a mighty work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for uniting with me in prayer there. And I believe there's something powerful that happens when we unite in prayer. And I'm looking forward to hearing the stories of how in the midst of these prayers right now, people have maybe experienced peace. People have maybe seen the fire stop and God move in mighty ways. And so we thank you, Lord. Amen. Sorry that I'm getting so emotional, but it just hit me. And you got to do what God tells you to do, right? Well, the second thing that I think that we can learn about prayer as we jump back into the message this morning is this. is that we should pray with intensity. We should pray with intensity. In verse 5, it tells us that they earnestly prayed. And I know there are some translations that use the word fervently, to pray fervently. And the Greek word that's actually used here in the original text is the word ektenos, which refers to a great intensity. And so, in other words, these weren't wimpy prayers. That they were praying with power and authority for God's will to be done. And the thing we have to realize is that prayer demands our full concentration to be on God, to seek Him, to give it to Him, because it's not our will. It's about His will. And we have to know and seek His will. I know we're real good at times. At times we're real good at throwing up just those prayers. Oh, help us, God. Help me, Lord God, show up. Where we just kind of throw them out there. But if we want to see the kinds of results that the early church experienced, we need to be praying earnestly with intensity. And so I guess the question is how? How do we do this? How do we pray in that way, this way? Well, I think 1 John 5 gives us a good model of what that looks like. I want to read it to you this morning. 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15 says this. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him. This scripture gives us some insight in how to pray with intensity and confidence. 1 John 5 here tells us a couple things. And so let me just give you a few sub-points this morning. The first is this. We pray with intensity, number one, by asking in accordance with the will of God. And how do we know His will? We ask Him. We seek Him. We take time to come before Him with open hearts, asking that He shows us, that He reveals to us His will. This is why daily prayer and time with the Lord is so important. Because it puts us in tune with God. It puts us in tune with the Lord. And when we're in tune with Him, He reveals His will to us. He speaks to us, which enables us to pray more earnestly and with more intensity. And then the second thing that this scripture tells us is we pray with intensity. Number two, by believing God hears our prayers and is actually answering them. You know, God tells us to make our requests known. If He didn't want to hear our prayers, He wouldn't ask us to pray. And if we're praying in accordance with His will, then we can pray with intensity and know that He is answering our prayers in His timing and in His way. Because even though we know that we're praying for healing, even though we know that we're praying for God to move in a specific way, that we're praying in accordance with His will, we don't always know how or when He's going to answer those prayers. Because again, it's His timing and His way. And so we just continue to pray and we trust in Him, which leads me to the third thing when it comes to praying with intensity, and that is we pray with intensity, number three, by continuing to pray. Continuing to pray. Oftentimes when God doesn't respond as quickly as we think He should or as we want Him to, we have this tendency to give up and just to quit praying. The power of prayer is unleashed in those who persevere in the presence of God. We can't give up. In verse 15, it says, whatever we ask, we know that we have. He will answer our prayers. And like I said, it might look different than what we had hoped it might look. It might take longer than we expected it to take. But we can't quit praying. An elderly lady was once asked by a young man who had grown weary in ministry whether he ought to give up. "I come up short every time," he said mournfully. "I feel like I should just quit." She replied, "Did you ever notice," as she smiled at him, "that when the Lord told the discouraged fishermen to cast their nets again, it was in the same old spot where they had been fishing all night and had caught nothing? Think about it. If the disciples would have quit and they would have thrown their nets, wouldn't have thrown their nets that last time, they never would have experienced the miraculous catch. We have to continue to pray." Now, it's kind of funny because as I was thinking about this idea of continuing to pray and continuing to cast our nets in the same place over and over again, I was reminded of Albert Einstein's definition of insanity. I think many of us have heard it. He described insanity as doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. And it's funny because people may think we're insane for continuing to pray, but I think we need to be a little insane when it comes to prayer, because we can't stop praying. We can't quit. We have to continue to pray and continue to pray with intensity, trusting that God hears our prayers and that sooner or later that insanity is going to result in a miracle. Because we serve a God that is faithful to see His will accomplished in and through our lives. And so we need to be people who pray with power and intensity. And the next thing that I think we can learn about prayer here in Acts is this. Number three, prayer brings peace. And that's one of the things I was just praying as we prayed. In verse 6 it says, "The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers." And the thing I wanted you to notice there is that Peter was sleeping. He was sleeping. Think about it. If you knew that in the morning you were going to face a trial that probably meant you were going to die, would you be sleeping? But most of us would probably be up all night worrying what was going to happen that next morning, worrying what Herod was going to do. We would probably be anxious and fearful, but not Peter. Peter was sleeping like a baby ear. Even when he did get woken up, he just thought he was dreaming. Peter was experiencing peace in the midst of challenges and difficulties. And I believe a lot of that had to do with prayer, the prayers of the church and the prayers of Peter himself. And I can say that with confidence that we serve a God that when we pray can bring peace. And I say that because I actually saw it happen last night. We got a phone call from someone who was on the verge of having to evacuate their home. And they were struggling with fear. And so they shared that and they had to hurry up and get off the phone in case they had to leave. But we happened to be sitting around for dinner with my family when this phone call came. And so we just as a family, I said, "Hey, can we just pray right now?" And so we just prayed, and we prayed for God to stop the fire. We prayed for God to bring peace to this family in this time, that they would be able to trust in Him and whatever happened. And about an hour or so later, we got a message from the family saying that the fire had actually been put out. And then she went on to thank us for our prayers, because she said shortly after she got off the phone with us, there was this sudden peace and calmness that had come over her. And she described it as God's peace that passes all understanding. And it's just a reminder that prayer brings peace. Philippians 4:6, it tells us, we've heard it time and time again, "Do not be anxious about anything, But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. It's telling us here, worry about nothing, pray about everything. In the midst of struggles and challenges, in the midst of fears and doubts, we're called to pray, we're called to give it to the Lord, because God knows that prayer can bring peace to our lives. Listen to the next verse here in Philippians 4. After it says, present your request to God, it goes on to say in verse 7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's what she was talking about on the phone when she said that peace that passes all understanding. When we pray, and not just those prayers we throw up to God, you know, oh Lord, help us in this time. But when we pray and we truly seek the Lord in the midst of struggles and challenges, we can experience a peace that transcends all understanding. A peace that can only come from God Himself. The kind of peace that allowed Peter to sleep the night before he was going to be put to death. Now, the amazing thing is, Peter wasn't put to death, which leads me to my final point this morning, which is this. Number 4, we should pray with great faith. With faith, believing and expecting God to answer our prayers, right? I think there are a lot of people in our world who pray, but they really don't expect God to actually answer their prayers. It becomes this empty ritual that we simply do just because that's what Christians do, right? Well, hey, we're in trouble. What do? We pray. Now, I'm sure this is something we've all struggled with. I know I've struggled with this at times in my life where we pray, but we really don't have faith. We really don't believe. And so the question we have to ask ourselves, though, is then why are we even praying? If we don't have faith, if we don't believe God can answer prayers, why are we praying? If we don't believe that He can do the miraculous, why are we praying? If we don't believe He can change the circumstances, why do we pray? Now, the thing is, I don't know what the church was praying when they came together to pray for Peter. Were they praying for peace for Peter? Were they praying for Herod to have mercy on Peter? We don't know. Were they praying for God to miraculously break Peter out of jail? Maybe. We don't know. But if they were, if that's what they were praying, they obviously weren't praying with faith. And we know this because in verse 15, when Rhoda, the servant girl, told them Peter was at the door, they thought she was crazy, right? And it says when they realized that it was actually him, they were astonished. Now, why? Why were they astonished? Wasn't that what they were praying for? Weren't they praying for God to do a miracle? It's amazing to me how many times when we pray, we don't really expect God to answer the prayers. We pray without faith. And again, this goes back to being people who pray God's will, not our own. Because if we are in tune with God and praying for His will to be accomplished, then we can pray with confidence. So when we pray, we have to pray with confidence. We have to pray with great faith because God can and will answer His prayers according to His will. Our prayers, excuse me, according to His will. Prayer is a powerful tool that God has given us. And we see that here in these scriptures as the early church continued to come together and pray. It's a powerful tool. That's why he's given us this opportunity to pray, the power of prayer. And we need to be reminded that there is power when we unite in prayer. We need to be reminded that we should pray with intensity. That we should pray with that power, that we need to be reminded that prayer brings peace. It's a powerful thing that happens in our lives when we seek Him, and we need to be reminded that we should pray with great faith, trusting that He will answer our prayers. The early church set a great example for us here in Acts, and it's important that we remember these things as we continue to come before the Lord in prayer. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You so much for Your Word. We thank You so much for the things that You have been teaching us through Your Word, and especially, Lord, in these last several weeks, teaching us through the early church, Lord. Because we are the church, us as individuals, we make up the church, and we want to learn to be people who live the lives that You've called us to live. And Lord, one of those things that You call us to do is to be a people of prayer, who seek You, who pray and connect with You, who pray over situations and circumstances that Your will would be done, Lord. And so I just want to pray for us that we truly become a people of prayer, that, Lord, we truly become people that worry about nothing, pray about everything, Lord. That in those times of difficulty, it doesn't mean that there isn't going to be fear and doubt that pops into our head, but when those things come, may we be reminded that You are bigger than anything we face in this world, and that we can turn to You, and that we can lift these things up to You, and that we can trust in You and the peace that You will bring us in these times, Lord. And so we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the things that You're teaching us. We thank You for what You're doing today. Even as we pray and continue to pray for the fires and those affected by it, Lord, we know that You are at work. We know that, Lord, You can work all things together for good for those who love You and are called according to Your purpose. And so, Lord, we know that in some areas You are stopping fires and keeping it from reaching places. But we also know in other places where people have maybe lost their homes and have experienced difficulty and tragedy, that, Lord, You can work through those situations to do great things. And so, Lord, we right now, we just come before You in prayer, and we lift these things up to You. May we be people of prayer who trust in You, and may we experience Your grace, Your peace, Your goodness upon our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.